You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The story told in a new film called Philomena is incredible. It's about an Irish woman in her 70s who has searched all of her life for the child she'd been forced to give up for adoption 50 years earlier. And then, oh, but I don't want to spoil it for you. What makes the movie particularly moving is that it's based on a true story. And with me now are Steve Coogan, who produced, co-wrote, and stars in it, as Martin Sixsmith, the journalist who brought the story to light. And he is joined by Philomena Lee, who lived that story. And I'm very pleased to welcome you both to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve, when did you first hear about Philomena?
I read an article in the Guardian newspaper about 4 years ago while I was in New York. I read it online, and the article was about Philomena, who's here with us now, about how she had to give up her child for adoption 50 years ago, and she'd embarked on this search for her child with Martin Sixsmith. And the article in the newspaper was about this, and I found it very moving. And
immediately start thinking about doing a film.
And I thought. Well, first of all, I was looking for something. My career was in comedy. I was looking for something more substantial, and the story, Philomena's story, touched me. And there was a photograph of the story, which is a photograph of Martin sat with Philomena, and they were both laughing. And the story was so sad, and yet the photograph showed them both laughing, and I wondered how they'd arrived at a place where they could both laugh like this, and that sort of lit the touch paper.
And as moving as it is, there is quite a bit of comedy in it, especially in the contrast between Martin and Philomena. Martin doesn't always come across as the nicest of people, while she does, or she's a very comes across a very sweet person. And they're from very different worlds.
Well, that's what intrigued me. And you know, in telling the story, of course, we take some liberties with the characters.
I mean, in other words, Philomena, not as nice as the character.
Philomena's not as nice as the way she's portrayed, and Martin isn't quite as nasty, I suppose. No, Philomena is of course. But I thought there was something interesting in the fact that, or something I could explore about the fact that Martin Sixsmith, who was already well known, was this liberal Oxbridge-educated intellectual, and
he was in the Blair government.
He was in the Blair government as a spin doctor, and obviously was at the heart of things. And there was, Philomena, a retired Irish nurse, and I'm sure you don't mind me saying this, Philomena.
Not at all.
That there's quite a few Irish ladies who came over to Britain, many of
That's
whom
right.
ended up in nursing.
That's it.
Now, you kept your son's birth and adoption a secret for a really long time. Had you told your daughter about it?
I kept it for 50 years, a secret, buried within me for 50 years. Because at the convent where he was born, I mean, we were almost browbeaten that we were sinners because of we committed a mortal sin in the Catholic religion in those days. And you just believed everything the nuns told you. Well, I did anyway, because I had to go into that convent when I was 6 years old. My mother died. And we went to, my two sisters and I were put into a convent school in Limerick. And my dad kept the three boys at home. There were six of us. He was only a 36-year-old man when my mother died. So he couldn't cope with us all. So he put the three girls into convent school in Limerick. And then kept the boys at home. So from six till I was 18, I was in the convent school and believed everything that was ever told.
And they told there was no sex education.
And in the film, you come across as rather innocent about sex.
Oh, I didn't have a clue.
Well, I think that was
sorry about
yeah.
that.
Well, that was the way of things, wasn't it? Back in the day,
we got a very good education in the convent school, but you never got any sex education. And I left there at 18. My aunt took me home. You had to leave that place at 18. But from 6 to 18, it was all religion and music. We had a good education.
And then you became pregnant from a virtual stranger.
Mm-hmm.
What convinced you that you could trust not only a total stranger, in this case Martin Sixsmith, to tell the story to, but someone who came from such a totally different background than yours?
It wasn't, when I told my daughter 10, 12 years ago, she didn't have, my son, didn't have a clue, because I kept it so buried within me all those years and hoping that one day maybe I would find him. And once I told her, because I'm not au fait with the internet, she was straight on the ball. So she tried for 18, we tried for 18 months before Martin came on the scene. My daughter tried everything. Adoption Ireland, Adoption America. She even rang the government. She tried Notre Dame, where he was educated, and no answer. And then eventually she went round and round, and we were always put back to Adoption Ireland again, where we started. Mm. So she could get no. And one night.
But you also went to the Magdalene sisters, and you asked them for information. And
no, they weren't Magdalene. Actually, there's a difference between the Magdalene sisters and where I was. It was a mother and baby home. But the Magdalene sisters were completely different altogether, because they were, it was just, they took in laundries from all over the place, whereas we just did the home laundry for the babies and the nuns and our own. So we weren't classed as, well, we were classed, we were called Magdalenes because we committed the sin of immorality. And, but we weren't with the Magdalenes, we were a completely different sect. They had a very hard and tough life. The Magdalene's children.
Well, it sounds like
and that was in Dublin. We did, but I mean, we were more mentally upset. But the Magdalene sisters were beaten, and Magdalene girls were beaten, and all that sort of thing. But we were mentally, you know, you must repent for your sins. You must.
Well, they gave you no. There was no medication given during childbirth.
Not
or any kind
at
of,
all. No way.
Because
I had to suffer.
Pain was
my
God's
sins.
Punishment.
It was. Yes.
As a rather private person, did you have any fears about your story being told in print?
Oh, I did in the very beginning. Well, what happened then? My daughter friend went to a party one night, where Martin, who wrote the book, and his wife were at this party, and she knew him. And she said, my friend has got a very good story. Could you help her out? He said, well, I don't do that kind of story. He said, because I'm a political journalist, and this is a human interest story. But I will meet Jane anyway, my daughter Jane. Which, of course, that's where it started. He met Jane afterwards, and he took it from there. And then he researched it for about five or six years. He used to come up and down to Jane's house, and I'd talk into the microphone and told the story as it was all those years ago, complete truth. But I didn't know anything about Anthony's life at all.
Anthony was the name you'd given your son.
Yeah, Anthony Lee, yes.
I don't know how much we want to give away, because it does come as a surprise,
yes,
when you find out who he actually is. But what did you think when people came to you about making it into a movie?
I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it.
And using your name, there was all the names are the real names.
Some names have been changed of certain relatives, but the main players in it, we keep the same names.
Well,
yes.
Steve, weren't you interested primarily in producing this as a film first, or did you always imagine yourself playing Martin Sixsmith?
Well, initially, I just wanted to produce it and perhaps, and not even write it, but just bring a writer in and tell the story. I just wanted to tell a story because I knew it would. I thought there'd be a resonance with people. Certainly, it was because the story takes them to America, and I thought. There's certainly in America, people would identify with the old country and the new world, and it would resonate the idea of people being from somewhere else, and you know, America's full of people who are from somewhere else originally, and also the story itself, you know, resonated with me with the Catholicism the Philomena's the same age as my mother, so I thought, you know, it could have been my mother that it happened to. So those are the things that motivated me originally.
Well, you actually changed the story a bit, because in the book, Martin Sixsmith is not a character, but in the film, this is really about this odd couple.
What I did was I took liberties with certain things, because when I decided to write it, I sort of had a take on the story, which was the idea of the contrast, the odd couple being Philomena and Martin, and their very different backgrounds. And I thought that was a way of exploring different attitudes to life, and whether, you know, Philomena's, I found her, like, she's knows a lot about people. It's an intuitive knowledge. Philomena didn't go to Oxford or Cambridge,
no.
But she has a kind of a humane kind of instinct about people. And that seemed to be a more interesting way of telling the story. But with Martin, I put something of myself into the character, and at that point, things, issues I had with Catholicism that were if you like, thrown up by the story.
Because Martin Sixsmith is not a Catholic.
Martin's not. Martin's actually just
But you
Christian.
Made him into a...
I turned him into a lapsed Catholic, with his blessing, because he understood that I wanted to provide a contrast. And with Philomena, who has faith, despite what happened to her, and I myself am not religious, but there are people in my life, my mother, for example, who is, and I wanted to respect that, but have a conversation about it, as you were.
My guests are Steve Coogan, who co-wrote, produced, and stars in Philomena, a film by Stephen Frears, he directed it, and starring also Dame Judi Dench as Philomena Lee. It opens this Friday at the Paris and Sunshine Theaters and the Arclight and Landmark Theaters. Also with us is the subject of the story, Philomena Lee herself. It is also the title of a book, Philomena by Martin Sixsmith, which is now available as a Penguin paperback original with a foreword by Dame Judi Dench. So have I covered everything here?
I think so.
Yes.
What is it like to have one of the greatest actors in the world, Dame Judi Dench, play you in a movie?
I could not believe it. Could not believe it when I first heard it, because I loved the James Bonds. I've loved James Bond films. I could not believe, and I've watched a lot of all her films over the years. Mm-hmm. I could not believe it. I was so dumbstruck, really, to believe that Dame Judi Dench.
How did you get her on board? And Stephen Frears, the director.
Dame Judi Dench.
I was writing the screenplay with Jeff, and I said, we were talking about who might play Philomena, and I said we should go to the top. We should get the best, and that's Dame Judi Dench.
And we did.
And I did. I went to her house and I told her the story. And I remembered saying, I said to Jeff, you know, you have to see, she's an actor. She's not just the kind of strident matriarch we know as M in the Bond film. She's an actor. And I'm sure it would appeal to her to play someone who's very different, because for all Philomena's qualities, she wouldn't strike you as being the head of the Secret Service. So I knew it would appeal to her. So I went to her and told her the story, and she responded. And then I remember telling Philomena, I said, I think Judi Dench might want to play you. I remember you clutching your chest thinking, oh, do you think she would?
Well, how did she do? Do you think that she captured you?
Well, indeed, she was fantastic. That's all I can say. She really did. I couldn't believe she... Lovely lady, the most lovely lady.
You give her any tips?
Times. Pardon?
Did you give her any tips?
No, I didn't need to. We just got
she
talking.
She just spent time with you, didn't she?
She did.
Just spent time.
We spent time together. We talked together a lot, and I found out a few things in common with her, you know, and she was just such a lovely lady.
Was it intimidating for you, Steve, to play opposite Dame Dench?
A little bit. I was daunted, but the thing is, I was so wrapped up in the screenplay and being involved in producing the movie and talking to Philomena. It was only on the first day of shooting that it suddenly dawned on me that I was having to share the screen with this icon, and I wanted to make sure I just passed muster, basically, with one of the greats. And so I said to Stephen, "Keep an eye on me. Make sure that I'm playing a good game, because you know, you don't want a one-sided tennis match." But I saw Judy. Judy was very down to earth. She didn't talk about the script or the character at great length. She just did her own private thing, and in between takes, we just had a laugh.
In fact, she says that you, like Billy Connolly, made her cry with laughter between takes. Jeremy Irons was here once to talk about an early film that they did together, and he said that she's a giggler.
She is, and she would I would make her laugh kind of despite herself, and the more comfortable I got her, the more cheeky and inappropriate my humor became, and the more she laughed at the inappropriateness. I think she's used to being treated like sort of pseudo royalty because of her title, and so I think she liked it when people are kind of more mischievous.
Now, to make the film, of course, they had to eliminate a lot of stuff. Was there anything you thought was missing from the film, Philomena, that you wish could have been included?
No, I think everything was included for the simple reason I finally found him. That's what I think about the film. All I wanted to do the whole of my life was to find him, you know. Prayed many, many years. I thought I'm never going to find him. But I did through the film and through Martin
and
Stephen.
And again, I don't want to give it away, but mm-hmm. it turns out that you had a son who became very prominent. He was not just some guy who mm-hmm. disappeared.
Oh, well, yes. He became very high up in the American government for mm-hmm. Both Reagan and Bush administration, Bush Sr. It's a real journey. For my part, when the question you're saying are the things we didn't include, we see glimpses of the life of Anthony, but we don't concentrate on his life so much as the search, because mm-hmm. you know, and all these things, there's so many aspects to Philomena's mm-hmm. experience that you have to hone in on one, and mm-hmm. to tell the story from Philomena's point of view felt the best way to go.
And you shot the American scenes right after Sandy hit the East Coast. Did that complicate the shoot?
No, we were lucky though. We were very nervous about that, and it was touch and go. But we just got away with it. It was just blustery rather than, you know, we managed. Yeah. We didn't get swept away.
Now, was Martin Sixsmith on the set during much of the shooting?
Well, when we got to London, when we finished in Washington and we went back to London...
You shot it out of sequence.
We did. The first things, all the Washington and American stuff we shot first. Then we went back to London and Ireland. And mm-hmm. and Martin came on the set with Philomena.
That had to be intimidating.
Well, not really, because when I wrote the script, I based the script on lots of conversations I had with Philomena and Martin. So I met Martin several times to conduct interviews with him and ask him questions about, A, the story, and B, ask him personal questions about his life to feed into the narrative. So we were already fairly familiar by that stage.
Now, Philomena, your faith is an important part of the story. Did you ever question it?
Oh, I did. When I left the home after they took Anthony away,
because they'd been so cruel to you. They sold your son, in effect.
Well, they did, but in those days I didn't know anything about money or, you know, we never got any money for anything, and I didn't know they sold the babies. But it's written documentaries about the banished babies that they were sold. I didn't know any of this at the time, of course. And, you know, so he was so taken away, and I did lose my faith. He was taken away a week before Christmas. 2 weeks later, I was back over living in Liverpool. They found me a job, the same type of nuns. Not all nuns were bad. I mean, there were some very good nuns. And so, but where I went to work in Liverpool, there were good nuns. And I started a whole new life. I managed to have a bedroom of my own and things like that I never had before. And then, as I say, I started to live my life and took on a new life in England, and then 2 years at the boys' school, and then I went down doing nursing in St. Albans.
You had children of your own, more children.
I had a son, Kevin, he's 53 now, and I had my daughter. And then I've got three grandsons and a granddaughter and two great-grandchildren.
Steve,
and I couldn't be happier.
We don't have much time left, but you have another movie of your own coming out, already number one at the box office in England. Is it a comedy?
It's a broad comedy. Having said that, Philomena, although it's a harrowing story, there are a lot of laughs in it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
we made sure that there's a lot of humor in Philomena to love it. So it's quite an enjoyable film, lots of laugh out loud moments along with the tears. No, but the Alan Partridge movie that comes out in the early next year, that's pretty broad kind of... I mean, I'm really pleased with it. It's good quality stuff, but it's definitely kind of laugh count per page, you know.
Steve Coogan stars in, co-wrote, produced Philomena, a film directed by Stephen Frears, which opens this Friday at the Paris Sunshine, Arclight, and Landmark Theaters. Thank you so much for being with us, and Philomena Lee, thank you so much for coming here as well, and... It's a fascinating story. I guess you're pleased that it's finally been told in a book and now in a film.
Thank you.